There is a podcast brewing that's about to take over podcasting for good. The only podcast that you are going to need to tune into day in, day out, is the Member Guest Podcast.
If I can hit it down the middle of the fairway, that's great. But again, with the driver right now, the driver sucks.
John Daly, and you're listening to the Member Guest Podcast. Rip it, rip it.
Hey, Betsy Kelly.
Hey, guys. How's it going? Thanks for having me on.
We're happy to have you.
What do you think of our intro song?
It's so good. I was just laughing.
Yeah. Do you know everybody in it? There's four people. Do you know any of them?
You mean like you guys?
No, like the actual people that were in it.
Oh.
Besides John Daly.
We got John Daly. We got Bruce Buffer.
Okay. Bob does sports.
Bob does sports. And DeChambeau.
Yeah, Bryson DeChambeau. Oh, unofficial. He's a guy's like driver sucks. No, that's okay, just that's a recording of his. Yeah, but John Daly's actually is ours. So is Bob does sports. And so is Bruce Buffer.
That's so good.
We just paid him on Cameo.
Yeah, Cameo.
So maybe you need to get on Cameo.
I think I do.
Because you have a massive social following. You think people would pay for Betsy Kelly cameos?
Oh yeah, maybe let's add that to the revenue stream.
Yeah,
I don't know. You guys tell me. Maybe my followers will be like, yeah, let's get that going. Like,
maybe.
Hey, you throw something on there for what, $20, $50 to get something, and
John Daly was substantially more.
But
I think Bob does sports is like $100, and when I met him, I think he said he does a couple hundred a day.
We had we had John Daly. And he literally sent it to Jordan at like 1-2 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, of course.
My favorite story to tell.
Just hammered.
It's such a cool message to get on your phones. Like, John Daly completed your, I'm just going to pretend it's not a cameo and just pretend it was John Daly. Like, yeah, here you go. Sounds a lot cooler.
You know, he's just like getting back from the bar.
Oh yeah. I'll show you the video offline because it's pretty good.
Yeah.
So Betsy Kelly, arguably, I don't know, one of the biggest social media golf influencers in Minnesota. Is that accurate?
Yeah, for sure.
Is it actually?
I think so.
It's like, got to be.
From what I know of.
I've been following you for a couple years, though. Yeah.
At least, yeah. I think a lot of people, whenever I always talk with people and like, hey, who's coming on the pod next? And I'll tell them, Mitchell Golf or who we talked to the Mitchell Golf guys yesterday. They do the loft and lie machines. And I said, Betsy Kelly, and everybody goes, oh yeah, I follow her. And I'm you and every other golfer in Minnesota, like you put out awesome content.
Yeah,
and,
thanks so much.
Hopefully maybe some new content on, I don't know, like a new tour. How's the game right now?
Yeah, game is good. It's tough out there, though. It's a grind. Like, and, you know, like everyone in Minnesota knows me because I'm born and raised Forest Lake and played all the junior tournaments here growing up, won state in high school, and then last couple years won the state open, and it's like, sweet, like I'm – crushing it out there. And then you get out on tour and it's like all these girls are good and it's hard, but my game is good. I'm trending in the right direction. I had kind of a rough couple tournaments early in the year this year, but I'm like working on some swing changes. So, it's
with Luke at Interlochen, right?
Yeah. So my swing coach is Luke. He's out at Interlochen. He's awesome. I started working with him in like 2020 and I went to him and I was like, hey, I need speed. Like, I need distance.
That's where the Rip comes in.
Yeah, it turns out he's the founder of Ripstick. So, like, people see
really?
Yep.
Yeah, people see me preach Ripstick on Instagram. And, I mean, I literally use that thing every single day. But he's the founder of Ripstick. And I got, like, 30-plus yards using it.
Tony, you need that.
Yeah, you should get it.
What the heck?
No, Tony does not need that. Tony needs less Ripstick. He needs to hit it.
I use the 43.5-inch driver because it is a little crooked, but I can move it.
Oh my god!
I can move it a little bit.
It's dumb. He's got that linebacker, that college football. Yeah. Well, you were corner, right?
No, I played linebacker in college.
Oh, you did play linebacker. Yeah. Can you imagine going up against Tony as a linebacker in college?
Glad I didn't have to.
Yeah. Well.
No bueno.
You're just natural just a natural athlete.
I see you doing them box jumps on your Instagram, baby.
Me too. Yeah. I don't know. I'm trying. I can't hit 350-yard bombs, but
maybe one day.
Using that Ripstick.
It is funny. Like Tony and I, he'd come over a little early, and of course, I had to go to second swing to tweak some stuff with my clubs. And we were talking, I was like, life's got to be a little bit different. Like all you do is golf, right? Like that's your job. And I mean, like you obviously do some of the social stuff too, but like that's what you do, right? It's full time.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like I've got multiple jobs actually. Cause it's like, how do you pay your bills? But
sure.
It's a lot of work. Like, I mean, you look at the guys on tour and it's, you know, you wake up early, you're getting your workout in, you're going to the course, practicing, playing, the social media stuff's like a lot of work.
Oh yeah. We totally get it. I mean, yeah, we got what, 1300 like, followers yeah. now. I mean, it's a lot to manage.
I'm so bad at responding to people. I'm like, I'm bad with just responding to text. And then you put 76,000 followers on Instagram. I'm like, sorry guys.
Yeah. Good luck.
Like good luck.
I don't, you know, being a female golfer there, I can't even imagine some of the DMs that you're getting.
Oh, they're hilarious.
Yeah.
Yeah. You could monetize like feet and shoe picks. Maybe.
Yeah.
Shoe picks for sure. I like your Jordans.
revenue streams.
Like them Jordans you got.
You
got
to have shoe game.
Oh yeah.
Are you big Jordan?
Oh yeah.
Oh, okay.
I'm like, you have to have good shoe game. I mean, it's the look good, feel good, play good, right? So
100%.
PXG's got me hooked up with the apparel and then the shoes. I, you know, walking in, we were talking about our Jordans, but the Jordan 12 Lows are like my favorites. And everyone, like, I will say the number one question that I get on all of my posts, which are just like instructional videos, is like, what are your shoes? Where did you get them? I swear to God, that's like the number one question.
That's amazing. They can be hard to find, especially like some of the newer ones. So would those be your favorite golf shoe then?
Oh, yeah. Jordans. Hands
down. Okay, for sure.
Like Jordan, sponsor me. Yeah. Because I spend a lot of money on shoes.
Yeah. Yeah. Probably not a hard sponsorship to get.
Might be one of the most difficult. But.
Oh, yeah, by far, by far. So you're in Minnesota now. You live in Arizona in the winter months, and then you come here in the summer months, and then do you just travel playing on?
Yeah.
So what tour status do you have right now?
So I have Epson tour status right now. It's not good, though, unfortunately.
And when you say it's not good, you mean your status isn't good?
Yeah.
Yeah, so not like the Epson Tour.
Yeah, the Epson Tour is amazing. Don't get me wrong.
I watched Nelly Korda on the Epson Tour in Sioux Falls. So, yeah, and I mean,
that's when she crushed it. She won. Then she got her tour card on like the LPGA.
So,
and back then it was Symetra
Tour,
I think it was Symetra. And then it just changed. I mean, all these tours, they change names like every couple of years. But, yeah, Epson Tour is amazing. So that's kind of like the stepping stone to the LPGA. And I went to Q school, and I just didn't play my best, which was unfortunate because I was coming off my Minnesota State Open win, and I'm like, I just, like, whipped up in this tournament. Like, I'm feeling good, and I go to Q school, and I just mentally bombed it.
Yeah.
But however you do at Q school is, like, you're ranked for the entire next season, and it's not like the Korn Ferry Tour where you can go Monday qualify into an event.
They don't have, like, Monday qualifiers at all?
They don't have Monday qualifiers for the Epson Tour. So, essentially, what you have to do is hope and pray that you get into an event just based on your status. And for me, I probably won't get into anything.
Because you need people to drop out, right?
Yeah.
Is essentially how you get in.
Yeah. Like, I actually have a friend, Hannah Gregg. She's another Instagram.
Yeah.
Like, awesome Instagram influencer. Today she was about to play in the Women's All Pro Tour event, which that's another tour I'm mostly playing this summer. Literally playing in the pro am and got a notification that she got in to the Epson event in Florida, and so she's like, "Oh shit! Like I got to jump on a plane." And she
like now tonight
like,
booked flights and hotels and all that.
Yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, like I guess I just saw it, you know, driving up here or before I drove up, but yeah, like stuff like that. You just have to hope that you can get in or get a sponsor exemption. I feel like I should have played the sponsor exemption thing a little bit harder. But other than that, I'm playing mostly Women's All Pro Tour, which Women's All Pro Tour, if you win that, which it's a 4-day event, so they're long, it's not like a Monday, then you can get an invite into an Epson event.
Got it.
So that's really the only way to like increase your status. Otherwise, it's like, okay, we'll go back to Q school.
So like, that's different than the PGA and like their, I guess the tours under the PGA, correct? Like, are there any other major differences between women's golf and men's golf, or are those the biggest things?
Those are the biggest things, like the Monday qualifiers for the Korn Ferry. I mean, we have Monday qualifiers for the LPGA, And I don't know how it works for the guys, but like supposedly if I were to go to an LPGA Monday qualifier with Epson status and I qualify for the turn for the LPGA event, and then I'm in the LPGA event that week and I make the cut, like you'd think that would help my status, but it won't. Isn't that crazy?
Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah, no kidding.
So then I was like, because at first I'm like, I should go play in all these LPGA Monday qualifiers. And I was like, well, it does nothing for my status. So,
weird. Yeah, even if you qualify, like you would think like that would garner you points or whatever to get you better status. But
like it would be awesome because that's my dream since I was 4 to go play in an LPGA event. But at the end of the day, I could go do that and then have to go back to stage like 1 Q school.
So you haven't played in a single LPGA event yet?
I have not. I
gotta be so close.
I know. So actually this is kind of a crazy story, but 2019, I like, this goes into my whole background and story where I stopped playing golf for a few years and I was like super unhealthy. And anyways, I was at this really low point in my life and I'm like, I gotta play golf again. And so I signed up, like I hadn't competed in 2 years and I'm like, screw it. I'm going down to Texas. I'm going to play in an LPGA Monday qualifier just to see if I still got it. Like, let's go.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
All right, God, like tell me if I should play golf again type thing. And I go to this LPGA qualifier. It was at it's the Volunteer of America's Classic in Texas. And it's 18 holes, make it or break it. Like whoever wins is teeing it up at the LPGA event, and I missed it by literally like, it was a top two, and I took third.
Oh my goodness!
No. Was that the one the playoff one?
No.
What was the one that you like lost in a playoff?
Oh my God, that was last year. That was.
I'm sorry
last year.
If I'm bringing up something.
No,
I'm
sorry.
That
so
was
sorry.
So killer. Okay, so like Arizona Women's Open. This was my, besides the Minnesota State Open this year, the Arizona Women's Open to me was probably my best tournament of the year. Plus like the field is 10 times better than the Minnesota State Open. Yeah.
Down mm-hmm. in Arizona, I can imagine.
I mean, we had tons of tour players there. I was playing with Elena Sharp. She's like an LPGA veteran.
Yeah, you got, I mean, Hannah Gregg, like you're talking about her, and Hannah, you're talking about all like, these other gals that all live down there.
They're all like tons of Epson Tour players, LPGA players. Actually, one of the girls was kind of pissed because she was like, why are there LPGA girls in our little Arizona Women's Open?
Yeah, wouldn't
like,
that make it harder for
Yeah,
you
well,
all?
They were kind of pissed because they're like, this is like stay in your lane. Like this is a $10,000 first place. Like we need this. You don't. And which I get that. But so anyways, I was basically like it was mine to win. And I was stepped up on the 18th tee box. Like I'm in the lead. I have a 2-stroke lead in this tournament. First place. It's like the biggest purse one of the biggest state open purses I played in. And all I have to do is make par to win it. And even my caddy was like, okay, like keep this right.
What's the hole like?
So it's a par 5.
Can you walk us through the hole?
I'm going to walk you through this.
Yeah, walk us through the mental. I love this stuff. Yeah.
Trust me, like I have replayed this in my head 1,000 times. And I'm like, God, I fucked up really bad. But
par 4, par 5?
It's par 5. It's the easiest hole on the golf course. Like if you par this hole, you feel like you made bogey. It's a birdie hole. Okay. So, like, the first 2 rounds, I was kind of flirting with this left bunker off the tee, and so my caddy was like, okay, let's keep this right. Well, I came off the 17th green, which is a par 3, and I was just rushing into it because I knew where I was at, and I'm like, okay, just get up there and rip it. Didn't, like, you know, take a step back and, like, do my whole process mm-hmm. and, like, talk through my tee shot. And what do? I rip it in the bunker. So
same left bunker.
That left bunker. Like, dumb. So I hit it in this bunker, and like not only do I hit it in the bunker, but it's literally in the lip.
No.
And
I
now
did that
I'm
three
like,
times on Sunday.
Oh no. My God. So now I'm like, crap. So I have to just punch it out, and then I basically punch, like just try to hit it out to where it was even with the other girl's drive. And then, so she hits 3-wood on the green. She's 2-putt birdie.
Mm-hmm.
I hit 3-wood in the right greenside bunker. And I'm like, okay, like, I need to get up and down here to win this tournament. I hit it to, like, maybe 12 feet. And then the classic, like, you walk up. I got maybe a, like, yeah, 10 to 12 foot left to right break. And at this point, I'm just like, it's that putt that you grow up thinking about, you know, this is to win.
If I make it, it's to win.
And, like, you know, whatever. I missed it. And I was like, damn it.
Oh my
so,
god.
So
and she birdied and she was behind you, so it went bogey birdie three
yeah,
stroke.
Like oh. Well, okay, two so stroke, yeah. It was a two stroke. So then I'm like sitting there and in my mind I was already thinking about like trust me, this is a good learning experience. Like, you know how they talk about your failures or how you learn?
Mm-hmm.
And that's couldn't be more true. But yeah, so then I'm like I was sitting there thinking, oh my gosh, like I'm going to win this. I hope my dad gets this on camera, you know?
Yeah.
Instagram me is like, like someone get this on camera. Like I'm going to win this whole. No. So then I get done. We're like, we sign our scorecards and it's like, okay, it's a sudden death playoff. And we took it all the way to five holes.
Wow.
And
wow.
Like the first four hole and especially number two, I think it was, I thought it was mine because she hit it in the fairway bunker and every single birdie putt I left short. Like even the fourth hole, it was maybe a half a roll short. Oh my gosh. It was like, yeah. So, and then the fifth hole was a par three. Like she hits it close. I hit it to like 20 feet, two putt par. She makes the birdie and I'm like, well, wow. And you know what? Like, yeah, I need 10 grand, but it's not the money. It's not the money at all. Like I hate losing.
Yeah. It's winning a golf tournament. Like that's a big deal.
I mean, you brought up something that you just said something that I as a, you know, somebody who competed in athletics, I always ask people who are athletes or what have you is, do you love to win or do you hate to lose? And almost invariably, almost all really competitive athletes just hate to lose.
Yeah. What is it? Like, I think JT said it best. He's like, I hate losing more than I like winning.
Yeah.
My perspective personally is always like, you prepare, mm-hmm. you prepare and do all these things to win. So when you win, that's what you're supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just when you lose, it just kind of guts you. And so
did you play any other sports or was it always golf?
So I played everything growing up.
Everything
like,
out in Forest Lake.
Oh yeah. Good old Forest Lake.
I'm from Hugo. I don't know.
Are
if
you
I've
really?
Told,
what?
Yeah. I grew up. It was between Wiper Lake and Forest Lake. It's literally right in the middle. Chose to be a bear.
So that's what it stands, that's what we said. It was it stood
help
for us help us get out.
Yeah.
Help us get out.
H-U-G-O.
Well, Forest Lake, we
Hugo's
like,
popping nowadays, by the way.
Hugo's popping. I
Hugo's
will say that.
Hugo's popping nowadays.
But, yeah, and you know this because we were, like, same conference. So Forest Lake was known as, like, the Hicks of the conference because we were north. And it was true. Like, I had kids in my high school class that rode tractors to school and I'm like
Forest Lake was a really really good wrestling school if that gives you any like
you can imagine
like
the farm boys
you can wrestle out there at Forest Lake
it's not amazing. A lot of and then you know here we are it's like not a lot of people left either and the people that left I'm like good for you
so growing up in Forest Lake like were you doing you know I find it fascinating the youth golf today like all these AJGA events and do they have the same type of thing for women's golf or girls golf
so growing up for me they do now growing up for me though I didn't play in any of that stuff like I think I played in one AJGA event and nowadays it's like if you don't play in those your chances of getting like a top-notch scholarship are pretty slim you have to go play nationally but for me so I did qualify for a couple national tournaments, which really helped me out with, like, the whole recruiting process. But I mainly just played all the Minnesota Junior PGA events. And then, like, the high school stuff, it's high school. There's, like, 10 good girls in the state, to be honest. And they're the ones that – and we're all best friends. And, like, we even go to college and, you know, they're at Nebraska or – wherever Wisconsin, like you see him on the road and we're all just good friends. But, I played like I qualified for the US Junior Girls and the Junior PGA Championship. So those two national tournaments helped, which is like college coaches and whatnot reaching out. But I literally played, I think one AJGA event.
Yeah. But now like
now
today
it's, like,
is
super different.
Like you got to play multiple tournaments. It's just like AU basketball basically, but for golf, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you have to play all these events just to get a scholarship.
Yeah. So did you hear what happened?
No.
With the high school
thing?
Because I saw both you and Luke post about it. So I was going to bring it up and ask you what it was. It was a Minnesota golf.
So this was like huge news and it was about to blow up nationally and then they changed it. So
Thank God. I saw they rolled it back probably because they got a lot of flack.
I did see this.
So what happened was, speaking of AJGA events, like if you want to get recognized by the top schools in the country, you have to go play these events as a junior golfer. You just, like, otherwise the Minnesota high school tournaments are just not going to cut it.
Right.
You might get recognized just because you're dominating, but maybe five guys, all number, you know, one through five basically in the state, went and played these AJGA events, and they got in writing that it was okay to go play these national events by the Minnesota State High School League. So literally in writing it said, yeah, Minnesota State High School League, like, we're getting this approved that we can go play these national tournaments. They signed off on it. The kids signed off on it. We're good. They go play in these events, and then all of a sudden they get back, and a week later they retroactively changed the rule and said that they're suspended from the rest of the season.
How can you retroactively change a rule? Like, that's
you
just...
You can't do that.
Yeah, well, retroactively change a rule.
Crazy.
The mindset behind why you would even want to do it just doesn't even resonate with me. I don't understand why they would want to do that.
It puts such a bad image to the... Like, for me and so many other people, and even the college coaches recognize it. They're like, what are they doing?
Right.
And so the Minnesota State High School League, and I think the MGA was also involved. Like, that was a big L. And then lawyers got involved because they're like, you guys, this is literally in writing.
But, and you're messing with my development that I'm trying to go to college and I'm trying to earn a scholarship.
That's really hard to do it in, too, right, by the way.
Right.
Well, and so... The good news is it changed, and they said, okay, they're not suspended, but if the Minnesota State High School League for next year or something comes back and says, hey, like, you can't play in Minnesota events if you want to play national, they just went straight up, like, PGA versus LIV. Like, if you want to play on the PGA Tour or the LIV, you can't play on the PGA. And if they do that, that's going to hurt kids' chances of getting nationally recognized for college golf scholarships.
I mean, if you're if you have a high aspirations in the world of golf, like, you'd probably be better off not even playing Minnesota High School League. Andrew, just play AGGA.
Andrew Ramos, he's the number one 2024 recruit in the nation. He played he like missed the state high school golf tournament because he committed to playing mostly AJGA events last year.
Luke Benoit guy, right?
Yeah, Andrew Ramos is so good. So actually,
he's going to OU.
Yeah, so I play golf with those guys. Like, so Andrew Ramos and his brother Colin. And, like, my boyfriend, Kirk, we play all the time at TPC.
They're members out at TPC.
Yeah, so we get really good matches. That's where I was just playing before I came here, and I was like, guys, I got to dip out.
No, you came straight from the course.
Yeah.
So well, we wanted to play with her today, and
she couldn't. Every night we get matches. But, yeah, Andrew's going to Oklahoma, and they're like, but it was fun because we had every college coach, like, he had everyone all over him. Like, they were flying out to just – do home
visits.
Chose
OU,
like,
huh?
Auburn, cool. Alabama, like all these. Yeah. Stanford.
That's wild.
Yeah.
Wild. Good options.
Good for him, man. That's
it was
awesome.
Cool. But yeah, so that's the whole AJGA thing. And that's just what you have to do. And for me growing up, like, it was different. But golf has completely just innovated in the last however many years.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's pretty crazy to see just, I mean, and you always hear these crazy stories about guys and gals who, like, came up and how they got on tour and where they came from. It's never just this normal story of, you know, super good in high school, went and played D1, and then, mm-hmm, you know, made it on tour. Like, you just hear these crazy stories, and then you see the stuff like, is it Michael Block, the PGA guy?
Blocky.
Legend.
Blocky, like, yeah. Blocky,
what?
Like, he's like the most popular man in America right now. Maybe maybe the world. I don't know.
It's people just love so cool. Right, yeah, that's the other thing that's cool about golf is it's just, it's not like other sports in that sense. I mean, you hear these crazy stories about how people make it
When you just think about it, I watched this little interview that he did, but it's like, there's no other sport that, like, you could be like, let's just say hockey. Like, right, you can play men's league hockey.
Right.
Basketball. City league hockey, or, mm-hmm, you know, go down to Lifetime and play hoops or whatever. You can't, there's no other sport in the world that somebody, like, that's just working in the field can go and play in the Super Bowl or go play in the Stanley Cup.
Yeah.
Right.
It's incredible. It's a major, and he is able to play in the Super Bowl.
That's what I love about golf. And, like, the U.S. Open, like, you get so many cool stories like that coming out of it.
Yeah.
Golf is the best.
What do you think? Is there any aspects that, you know, I personally think that there is so many people out there that just don't realize how good the women's golf world is. And I don't mean that in a, I mean that as the biggest compliment as I can possibly give you, is like, there's so many people like that don't understand how freaking good the girls are.
Like, and I think they're seeing people like Nelly Korda now too, and they're like, oh, wow. Like, so, this is like the best swing I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Right.
Literally, Nelly Korda was playing with like the guys, and I forget what event it was, but they were in awe.
The mixed pairs.
It was the mixed pair.
Yeah.
They were like literally in awe of how good her swing was, and all the guys are like, okay, we need to just copy Nelly.
Yeah.
And then I think it was Minji Lee actually held the record last year for like closest to the pin.
Proximity from 100 to 125 or something like that.
She dominated. Yeah. She beat every single guy. And I'm like, yeah, people don't realize how good these women are.
Yeah.
And
then the advantage is off the tee, right?
Yeah.
Well, and I mean, honestly, like,
we know how to keep it in the fairway.
They always hit it straight. Yeah. They always hit it straight. I know. Yeah. Appreciate that. She's never even seen me swing a golf club.
Yeah. Well, we had talked about when you and I played, right? When we played out at Quintero, and I was like, guys, that, like, we tipped it out that day, and it was really windy. Like, we were playing like a 7,400 yard golf course, wouldn't you say? Probably.
Yeah, and it was windy.
Yeah. It was really long. And I was like, Betsy was still keeping up. Like, yeah, she can't hit it 310. Like, her and her boyfriend, I mean, he can move it like you can.
Oh,
he,
really?
Oh, yeah. He can.
Yeah, he doesn't hit know how to keep far. It in the fairway either. Yeah. Okay. Sometimes he has his days. Yeah,
but exactly. Still, it's just like that really, you know, if you dropped, you know, the LPGA players from 100 yards in the middle of the fairway.
Oh,
like,
they would be better.
They'd be better.
Yeah.
So the only thing that's, you know, the difference is really the distance off the tee.
Right, but, I mean, that's you totally still move it out is. There. You still hit it like 260, 270,
yeah.
right?
Yeah, 260, 265, like, on average.
Yeah.
So, like, I mean, you're,
she can hit it 310. Like, yeah.
You're literally hitting it further than 95% of men.
Honestly, now I just need Lydia Ko's short game, and I'm money.
Yeah, what's the most important part of the game? Off the tee, ball striking, short game, or putting? Like, if you had to pick the best at, which one would you choose?
I think ball striking.
I think,
because you can make your way around a golf course with just really good ball striking.
Yeah.
Even if you, like, miss a fairway, and if your ball striking's good, the biggest thing is getting, like, as close to the hole as possible.
Sure.
So, and then, you know, if you're closer to the hole, your make percentage is going to go up.
Yeah.
And that's also my distance argument, because a lot of people are like, you know, it's drive for show, putt for dough. And I'm like, not really, like, because I'm big on distance, and I'm not one of the longest hitters, but just, like, having everything that I've gained in distance off the tee. But if I have a 9-iron into the green versus a 6-iron, like,
yeah,
I feel more confident getting a 9-iron closer to the hole than a 6-iron, and if I'm closer to the hole, then my make percentage on those putts is higher. Like,
decade golf bit, right?
Yeah, like, I mean, we had driver.
More birdies.
We had Scott Fawcett on, and he's like obviously the biggest proponent of like hit driver anytime you possibly can.
Yeah, as long as you're not bringing in trouble.
See,
into play.
Decade golf, like, it's a science.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm doing it right now. It's a grind. It's really, Andy said it best, it's easy to understand, really hard to do. I'll get like halfway through a round and I'll be like, wait, I just completely forgot to do all the decade stuff the last three holes. Like, get back into it. It just happens so fast. You just get into this groove, and it's a grind, but we're going through it.
Well, what would you think then? Would you say ball striking, or?
I think it depends on your level, your skill level.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, you know, I think if there's somebody who's like maybe a earlier beginner golfer or something like that, and they're losing a bunch of shots because they just are losing tee balls,
mm-hmm.
like hitting in hazards or, you know, lost balls, etc. Like, you, it's really hard to play a good golf if you're having 6-8 penalty shots a round.
Yeah.
For somebody who's maybe not a really great player, but like, I think you're right. When we were talking to Scott Fawcett, or, you know, I think I saw like Lou Stagner made a post about like, if you hit from like 150 yards and you hit it to 8 feet, or you make the putt, like, which one's more strokes gained? And it's the 8-foot putt.
Yeah.
Which, you know, if you hit one to eight
twice, feet, it is twice as important.
It's twice as important.
Yeah.
So, like, it just depends on your level of play. But, well, I mean, somebody who's as skilled as you, like,
I would say if all things were equal, it's either ball striking or short game. Yeah. Just because those are the two things that, to your point,
I'm going to ask the pro
proximity to the hole. Yeah. Well, she asked my opinion, so I'm going to give it. It might not be right, but yeah, I would say those are the two things that get you proximity to the hole. And then the only reason I would argue short game, and I consider short game like anything inside of 50, 40 yards somewhere in there. I'm not just talking about like chips around the green. You can, if you have a really good short game, like you're never out of a hole.
Yeah.
You know, like you can hit a bad drive, you can hit a bad second shot. If you can, if you have a good short game and you can get close to the hole and make a 5 foot putt,
yeah,
like you can make a lot of pars.
I mean, I won't name any names, but I was just out at the, I was at the practice, the short game range there today and trying to help out a buddy who was like literally trying to get.
Can I guess who it was?
No, you already know who it is, and I don't want you to say his name.
Don't want to make it public.
Hey, we've all been there. Okay, Betsy gave me an on-course lesson when we played.
Yeah. No, I will say this. We can change it up a bit. I think 125 and in. Like, that's money.
Oh, that's short game?
I would say, because that's ball striking.
Those are wedges, too.
Wedges, yeah.
Like, get rid of the whole ball striking versus, you know, off the tee, ball striking or short game. Like, just 125 and in. Love if you that. Can dial 125 and in, like you're shaving strokes, like you're for me, I'm getting on tour.
Yeah, seriously,
I'm gonna make it like a 125 and in summer.
Just gonna hit a bunch of hit a bunch of wedges here in the simulator.
Love that.
I think we got on this topic just talking about how golf has evolved and what's important, what's not. Like we always talk about how the social aspect has just taken golf over in general, and we always give the example of like. You know, all these podcasts are getting sponsored or all these YouTubers are getting sponsored even more than, you know, some of the pros out there. These golf companies are sponsoring YouTubers and it's paying off better than it is sponsoring
it totally
somebody
is.
That's on like the LPGA or the PGA. Like when did the social stuff take off for you?
Yeah.
Why and what, like just what's your take on it in general?
This is a good question because exactly what you just said. Like I wanted to be on the LPGA tour since I was 4 years old, and I was, you know, you graduate college and it's like, okay, well, good luck. Like if you don't have rich parents or sponsors, how are you supposed to come up with all this money? Like you have to go to Q school and I did it. And I basically had to go, you know, I turned pro and then I quit because I'm like, holy crap, like I don't have any money. So I was looking at all of these girls on Instagram that didn't play, and I was pissed. Like, I actually got pissed because I'm like, why are all these girls getting all the free stuff? Like, I just want some freaking golf clubs, right? Like, I'm actually playing, trying to make it on tour, and, like, this chick that can't break 90 is getting free clubs, and I can't. So I got so pissed, and then I'm like, okay, like, I need to make this happen. So I don't know what, like, I just really focused on like growing my Instagram, and I don't even know what like one of my first videos was that blew up. Honestly, I think I was just like ripping a drive with like some music on it.
Yeah. Sounds like sweet.
Went,
yeah, I mean,
it like went viral, and then
sounds like something
know,
I'd like, probably watch.
Yeah,
like everyone.
I watch people on Instagram hit drivers like all day. I don't even know what I'm watching. It's like, amazing. Man, that's a nice swing.
It's so interesting. Like the algorithm's always changing, and then I post a lot of tips because I also like a big thing with my Instagram is I want to give value. Like, yeah, I'm not fully like a teaching pro. Like I'm trying to get on tour, and yeah, I give lessons and stuff. But like people want to know like how I do things, and like. You know, any good golfer on tour, people, you will like want to get inside their brain and like know what drills they're working on, right? So like I want to take that and throw that out there for other people to get better. And that's why I've done a lot of tips, and people love tips. They're like looking for anything and anything, you know, anything to get better.
You don't have to be a teaching pro to be able to explain, you know, a good technique or a good way to practice or whatever.
There's
the
so many degenerate golfers out there, and we are in that crew. I mean, we're just consuming as much content as we possibly can to watch.
You're like, tell me how I hit straighter drives.
Yeah.
Well, it's fascinating. Betsy, because like some people,
I'm not that crooked. Okay.
You want to know how crazy I am? Like, I can't keep it in the fairway.
You want to know how crazy I am? I will like watch these people give these tips, and usually they have their real names on there. I'll go look up their index. Like, and I'll be like, I'm taking tips from somebody that's not as good at golf as I am.
Oh my God.
And like, what am I doing? Like, what is going on right now? Like,
so many guys will be like
threes, fours, fives, whatever.
Yeah.
So many guys will be like, oh, I bet that was 160 down the middle, or like calling me out, trying to say I'm bad. And I'm like, dude, I'm a plus six.
Yeah. Yeah. I would have to give you
30 strokes.
I would take your house if we played.
And one time I said that, and someone was like, oh, you'll get to scratch soon. And I was like,
my God.
I was like, do you know what a plus six is? Like, that's the other way. Like, that's if I go way. Scratch, I'm like getting worse.
Yeah, if you're a scratch, yeah. I have to give you like six or seven, buddy.
So it's funny. But yeah, you'll see people on there. And anyways, and like social media is just, it's been a lot of fun. Honestly, the best part about social media is all the people that you meet.
And 100%.
100%. Like, I mean, we all met, right? Mm-hmm. So the people you meet, like the golf family and the golf community is amazing. And I just keep meeting more and more people, and you get invited to opportunities. And then you just got this big like support system. So we're all just out, you know, especially like the mini tour players or someone like me, it's freaking hard out there. And it's just cool to have like that extra support.
So, you know, this has been a really fun conversation, but like what's next for you? I mean, obviously you got a big summer, you're going to be playing a lot of tournaments, but like what is your ultimate goal is play on the LPGA, right?
Yeah.
So, but like, what are the steps you're going to take to kind of get there?
Yeah.
Walk us through kind of what the process is.
To play in a tournament where I will always remember this. You told me you were playing in a tournament for money, and like there were just people playing the course and somebody picked up like your playing partner's ball or something.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Like what's it like
that
to,
was so bad.
Is the goal to go play on a tour? Like that shit doesn't happen.
Yeah. Like, so love the Cactus Tour, but us girls were all playing the Cactus Tour this winter, and literally, and this is actually Riley Reynolds. She's on the LPGA. She's a rookie on the LPGA this year. She like bombs a tee shot, and it, you know, we're out at this like public muni.
Huh, Pro V1.
No.
This
way.
Dude picks it up, and like we knew he picked it up because we found his ball by the green. I'm like, we're in a tournament for like money here. You know what I mean?
Oh my. What do you do in that situation?
Well, the tournament director actually said like, hey, I wish you would have told me that. Cause if you guys all would have like agreed that he took it, he would have just made up his own rule. Cause like he runs the tour, but she reteed, and yeah.
Wow. Oh my God. So she played it as like a lost ball.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
To your point, like, yeah, I want to be on, I want to get to the LPGA. Like that stuff's not happening there.
Yeah.
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 No kidding.
But what's next is, like, honestly, it's so hard. So right now, like, the rest of the summer, I'm going to try and play as many women all-pro tour events as I can. And it's a big question mark still, though, because, like, I don't want to go spend all the money to play in those if it's not going to help my status.
Yeah.
Ultimately, like, the goal is to go play in them and then win a couple, and that could change my whole year. Because if you win, if you take top five on the women's all-pro tour, another reason I love PXG, but they sponsored the tour, and top five automatically goes to stage two of Q School.
Oh, sweet.
Wow. And then PXG pays for it.
Oh, that's okay. Awesome.
Yeah, like,
shout out PXG.
Yeah. PXG, that's like, awesome. I will, you know, a lot of people are like, they're in with their brands, and I get it, but that's the other, like, one of the main things I love about PXG is that they support women's golfers more than, like, any other brand, and it's shown in so many different ways.
That's awesome.
Well, we're on PXG, and I think maybe it was a good time when we were talking about social media, but is that how you connected with PXG, or how did that all start?
Yeah, so I actually, like, fell in love with the brand before my Instagram blew up. And so, like, 2019, I was going through a rough time, and this sounds like something guys would probably do, but I'm like, okay, treat yourself. Like, I want PXG clubs. Like, yeah, I'm going to spend.
I've been there. I did that.
Like, I did that, too. I've done
like,
that.
I was just going through, like, hell in my life. And I'm like, you know what? Yeah, I'm going to buy $6,000 clubs. Like, hell yeah. I'm going. Like,
They're great
in.
Clubs.
I love that.
I'm like, treat yourself. Like, you're going through a rough time in life. Like, golf is my thing. Like, I need some new clubs.
That
I'm going to get PG.
Amazing. Do you remember what generation they were on at that point?
Gen 2.
Gen 2, okay.
So, like, I bought Gen 2. This is my first set of clubs I ever bought because, like, my parents paid for them growing up, right?
Sure.
You go to college, everything's paid for there. And then I was literally rocking, like, my college clubs for a while.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, so I got in with PXG in, like, 2019, and that's right when the Minneapolis store opened.
Yeah. Okay. Yep.
So I kind of got in. Yeah. So I kind of like got in with that crew. Or yeah, it's in Edina. I got in with that crew and like they knew me right away because I don't know. I have this thing where like I walk into the PXG store and I just was I would buy everything.
Yeah.
I literally
make nice stuff.
They do have really like especially for gear for women like. They're pretty, it's some of the sickest gear that's out there for women.
Yeah, totally. Like Renee Parsons, she heads all the apparel and she's killing it.
She kills it.
Yeah.
That's so cool. I keep that in the family and she does that. Yeah, that's really sweet.
Yeah. So I kind of got in with them then. And then when my Instagram did kind of take off, I reached out to them and I'm like, hey, like, what do we got to do here? And the really funny thing is, and you guys know this, so all of the golf, PXG golf influencers, like none of them are actually, so like the actual influencers, right?
Yeah, not the not actual, golfers.
They're not golfers. So they're, it's kind of like, it's the PXG influencer team.
Mm-hmm.
I'm the only one like on that team that's actually playing.
Interesting.
And because there's like two separate departments. So there's like the tour department.
Okay.
Which, you know, not Lydia Ko, but Celine Boutier, who just won on tour. Honestly, I can't even think of, like, the names on the women's side.
There's a ton on there.
There's a lot of them.
Yeah. But the influencer side's different, and I'm, like, the only one on there that's actually trying to play. But, yeah, so it was fun because they're like, oh, you'll kind of bring, like, a different side to it. And I'm just so blessed that I got the opportunity. And, yeah, I just love the brand, obviously. And, like, I like black. I don't know if you've seen that on my page, but like black is my color. And turns out PXG's apparel is like all black and white.
So I'm like, this is great. It's sharp stuff. It's all super sharp, right?
Yeah, like, and then they threw some pink in there for the spring collection. I'm like, okay, like I like pink if it's not black. So
there you go.
That's so awesome. I love that.
Yeah, they do break it out between PGA, LPGA, and then brand ambassadors like Rob Riggle and Darius Rucker. Yeah, that's pretty sweet.
That's cool.
And like a guy named Gary Player.
They straight up told me that, like, if I make it on the LPGA, that I have to, like, jump from the influencer team to the LPGA and deal with different people. I'm like, okay, whatever. Like,
yeah. That'll be a good problem. That'll be a good problem to have.
I can't wait until we have that problem, but.
You're going to have that problem. You're so close.
Yeah.
And is Kirk still on the bag?
Yeah, he is. I play so much better with him on the bag, like. I'm an idiot when it comes to reading greens. I don't know. Like, it's one of my weaknesses right now. And having him on the bag, like, it just gives me that confidence booster and slows me down. If he's not on the bag, like, I'll have my brother caddy. My brother, he's actually he was a really good player, too. My younger brother, he, like, won state in high school. And
oh, wow.
Yeah, so, and now he's the assistant superintendent at TPC.
Oh, like, sweet. So you probably see him all the time.
All the time, like.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
That yeah. So
we were, I did world. Play, I've only played TPC Twin Cities, I think.
We got to get that hard.
Yeah,
three
times. We're going to get up there this summer before the 3M. Like,
we played, I played in the 3M Open. We won the Pro-Am last year.
Oh, dang.
They beat Barstool.
Yeah. So,
too
like,
bad
Barstool.
We didn't have a brand.
We had Barstool, you know, and they were like, oh, we got the hardware. And I was like, dude, you got the third place trophy, homie.
Yeah.
I sent the first place trophy, so we had a good time with it.
But. Yeah, we would love to come out and play when the grandstands and stuff are off or on, even though apparently Tony just goes and wins the thing.
You should probably do that again, and now you've got, like, you know, the pod behind you.
There we go.
So. Hey.
There we go.
Team MGP.
Yeah.
There we go.
I know you have a hard stop. We're going to, like, we flew through this. It's actually kind of crazy. We're gonna have to do a 2.0 after we play. We're gonna have to do a home and home at TPC and Windsong. Until then, best of luck with everything.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me on, guys. We'll do this again definitely before the end of the summer.
Yeah,
love it.
100%. So thank you for coming on.
Best of luck, Kelly. Best of luck for the season. Seriously,
thanks, guys.
Yeah, you'll crush it. Hell thanks, yeah. Betsy.
Thanks.